Chris, did you want to follow up any further?
James, I have a completely separate question, but I thought I'd follow protocol here, and since that took a while, allow other people to ask their questions.
Thank you. Can you put me back on the stack after everybody else has had a chance to speak, just so
I can, Kim. I'm going to ask a question now, and then I'll take a new stack.
Put me at the bottom. Put me way at the bottom. I'm just before I forget or something. Thank you.
All right. Good. thank you, Kim. Bertol, I want to ask you about something that we discussed the last time we were here, and that was the projection for increases in revenue that weren't based on actuals because we've been going through this period of COVID, and we had some very lucrative sources of revenue that had evaporated during COVID, such as events, as in the events at SOBs, with Concevoir Latina, also the Broadway theater ticket sales. And we were discussing that if New York continues to open up, you know, and reduce the restrictions, that would be good for that revenue. And so it would be reasonable to predict increases in those revenue sources. Turns out that New York actually took the steps in the interim to eliminate the requirement of masks, for example, for children in schools. Not that that's going to affect our revenue, but they also eliminated the need for vaccination checks before going into venues. So this is predicted to boost the activities on Broadway and, you know, make the venues available for the events. And in answering this, that this is more or less a statement, but the question is, how do you predict that that's going to affect our revenue? And in particular, could you cite what the revenue was in the past before COVID from the events at SOBs and from the David Rothenberg Broadway ticket sales?
All right. So very quickly, the governor just posted a statement that saying basically what you said, that the regulations have been lifted. So which makes it now, whatever hope we had of having a Gavin or premiere in April should happen. You know, so basically trying to get in touch with the theater, the Symphony Space Theater. I already emailed Gavin or we're talking because that was one of the things that was up in the air. Gary Noel is very pro so-called, freedom, individual freedom, blah, blah, blah. So now those people would not have to show a vaccine pass. They would have to wear their mask. And Gary is one of the first ones to ask for that. So that is going to happen. It's going to happen in April or in May. Based on the response from the Symphony Space, the space they have available, and then we're going to push that event. But Gary Noel, makes a lot of money for us.
And what's the estimated value of that event, Bertol?
I'm projecting 1,200 tickets at $40. That's $48,000. These people have not gone to a Gary Noel event in years. We used to make a lot of money, Gary Noel $20,000. I think that this is going to be packed. The space can hold 1,700, but I'm projecting 1,200 people. We have done that before. So if that happens, I will try to get another event before September of that fiscal year with Gary Noel. But that's on the air. Concevoir Latino will have something in June for sure at SOBs. And that's going to net us about 7,500. That's the average. I mean, Apple gets all the reports from the SOB's events on net. You know, some of them are a little low, some of them are higher, but the average is 7,500. So those two items are on the budget. So these are the two items that obviously Kim increases the budget a bit. And
the Broadway ticket sales, Bertol?
Yes, and of course that affects the Broadway ticket sales, as David Rothenberg had mentioned to me before, but now it's a fact. The theater tickets, David Rottenberg sometimes sells like $11,000 a month, you know, but the average is about $5,000. So I'm projecting $6,500 starting in March 2022. We're going to see what that is. That's about $1,200 a month. I mean, like $1,500 a month. And then that's definitely feasible. I mean, $1,500 a week in theater tickets. That's feasible. We usually get David Rottenberg to do his things on Saturday. And then any extra tickets that are not sold are presented on Monday in the morning show. And that has been working well for us.
Okay. I have Kim who wants to go after anyone else has asked questions. Are there other questions from anyone who hasn't spoken yet? Other questions?
I had awful.
Yeah, well, I've spoken, but I want to be on a stack at some point.
Okay, did you ask before, Kim, or are you just asking now?
Let our Paul go. Well, I'll make my comment. Can I? Because my comment is just a comment.
Go ahead.
Okay. All I can say is we're having the same problems with Allegiance and tracking our sustainers. And I don't know if the AI does this, but we have a lot of people who, excuse me, have payment plans for premiums, like 6 months, you know. So, and that gets confused with the sustainers, and I'm totally sympathetic that we don't have that going on yet, and I'm sure that's something we can work out eventually. That's it. I'm done. Next person.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you. Our Paul?
Okay.
Wait. Bertel, were you trying to respond?
Yeah. Kim, it's all about codes. The way we have our Allegiant set up is the premiums. When you pledge for a premium, it's a code. And when you are just donating money, it's a different code. So it's like the first category. So if you are asking for a premium and you're saying that you want to get on a payment plan, you know, basically the way it's set up is you just pledge and then we send you a letter. We don't really have a payment plan where we tell you that you're going to pay X amount per month. We send you a letter saying that you say that you are going to be sending a check for this. And as you send your checks, you know, then we post them and then the difference is in the system until you pay it up. So the difference between the payment plan and the sustainer is pretty clear. And if you need help, I guess not me, but my webmaster can help you.
May I make a follow-up comment, James?
Sure.
Well, I'm hoping in the future that all of the people who have Allegiance, along with Julia and Stephanie and webmaster or membership director, all y'all can all get on a call and figure this out. That's my hope for, you know, the future.
That's a good
Amen.
Hope.
Amen.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up comment, if that's all right. This is Julia.
Yes. I'm considering you part of the answer, sir. You know, you're giving the answers as well as Bertel.
I understand where Bertel is coming from, but you have to remember that when you're trying to tie that information that's in the system, I know there's information. I don't know at WBAI, but, I mean, I know there's information at KPFK that has the sustainer information in it. The issue is making sure that everyone is trained in how you post payments and that there are deadlines for posting payments each month. Because by the time I'm doing financials, I've run the reports before, at least at one station, and they're behind in posting the payments. Because the ones that do come in as checks or maybe that come in, I don't know if some places have systems that aren't linked to Allegiance, but you have to manually key them in. The deposits. Well, if they put in the wrong date or they backdate something 2 months, you know, it messes up. It is extremely challenging to match it to the bank deposits. So, sure, I'm sure you could probably run a report of who pledged this month, but tying those payments to be able to put them into the financials is a completely different story. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So So I know we're talking about the WBI finances, but just to add that I've been pushing for this. I think we should definitely have a meeting of the mind among all the Allegiance users, especially the webmasters and the people who know how to run this, so that they can understand what you're looking for, Julia, and get this going. My program director is listening, and then she texts me. She says, make sure you tell them that for WBI, code 52 and 62 is BAI Buddy Sustainer. So if one who runs those codes, we know exactly who is the sustainer. And then we take that money out of the total listener support. And then that's how we coded it. I don't know how it was coded other places, but it can be updated. Yeah.
All right. If that's all on this topic, I want to go to our Paul.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I'm looking at some of these things here, and I guess some of this may have been answered. For instance, I have a question on the major donors and grants bequests, et cetera. Where is that in here? Okay, and you have sort of blanks for a lot of that. From like February on, and I don't know, major donor. Oh, that's below. Okay, let's get up to 1K and up. 1K and up. Here it is. You've got a regular from February on. You got a regular $77.50 per month, and I don't know. Do you have something special for that? What's this exactly based on?
If any donor over $1,000, and then we have like two or three donors that give us a substantial amount of money, like in December. So I just spread it over the budget. We know, for example, there's a donor that gives us $15,900 every year or more, just to cover our rent. So that's $15,900 right in the major donor section that's spread over. You know, then there's that apple, you know. That's basically it. And during the Christmas and stuff like that, for the BI, for example, the tower rent, we receive a lot of $1,000 donations. And these are major donors.
I'm a big believer in not smearing it out over time, because then you're going to look at it and you're going to be projecting a regular thing when, in fact, it's intermittent, and now you can step in that if you're not careful. But okay. And I noticed that the net income loss is 132, basically 133 now. And right now it's saying for FY21 it was 195 as a deficit. And so there's been some recalculation there, because that's a different number from what we got last week, which was only 22 for FY21. And any reason why it is exactly like that?
Yeah, I believe Julie removed the PPP loan, and then she left the bequest, the $200,000 bequest, as you can see over there.
Are you talking about the fiscal year 21 actual column?
Yes, that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, Arpal, I replaced that. Bertold had used his numbers for that. I took these numbers and pasted them out of the unaudited September 30th financials from 2021.
Okay, so the difference is this is from NETA.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. I have one, I guess, let me do this one last one here. Health benefits. which is, let me get back to it, health benefits, which is line, crap, I didn't write down the line.
77.
Well, okay, 77. Whatever it is. Yes, you just said what it is. Health benefits, is that accrued?
Yeah,
that's
it
just,
is.
It's just an accrual, right? Because in January, we had like $170,000 arrearage in that area. So, and now it's, you know, looking different.
Right. Well, if you're talking about fiscal year versus overall behind, Berthold has made, he has been putting up with me, barking up his tree pretty consistently about some of that stuff. And so he did make two payments. He made a January and February payment for business benefits, excuse me, and we're still trying to catch that up. So if I added March on here, this is either through February or March. WBAI is $46,000 behind in paying the health premiums.
Okay, so the basic bottom line is that the number here on line 77 is, did I just bounce into something else?
It doesn't include making the past due payment. I mean, well, yes, it does include making up for payments that have been missed this year.
Yeah, I'll call the $117,068 of fiscal year 2021 actual is the accrual. It's an average of $9,756 per month. This is not reflecting what we paid or did not pay. It reflected what should have been paid, what's the regular,
right.
What's the bill.
And that's what I was asking. So it is an accrual for FY21, and it's an accrual for FY22 so far, right?
Yes,
correct.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say.
Paul, Berto, while you're thinking of that, I'm just going to say that Arpal asked a series of short questions, so I let him do that, and there was nobody else on the stack. I'm going to ask another question myself, and I'm going to ask everybody else to think about whether they have any more questions. We'll take a stack. Yes, Chris?
James, I was on the stack. I was actually on the stack. You remember?
I apologize, Chris. Go ahead.
It's okay. Not a problem. It's okay. You can go ahead if you want to.
No. You go ahead.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm looking at this report, and generally what I'm seeing is, like I say, the expenses look, I think, reasonable, and they're spread throughout the year evenly. The revenue figures are actuals for the first 4 months, and it's showing $110,000 per month in revenue. And for the last 8 months, they're projected, obviously, because we don't have actuals right now. And those projections are $137,500 a month, which is 25% above the first 4 months. Now, I understand, you know, things are changing right now. You know, the mask mandates are coming off everywhere. People are showing up at live venues. Restaurants are full, you know, things are changing. So if that benefits WBAI 25%, which I think I'm marking myself down as skeptical about that, but that's not going to cause me to vote against this aspirational portion of the budget. Then, you know, I will just say that I hope that my cynicism is wrong and that, you know, you can make these numbers work. Because for the first 6 months of the year, you're showing a loss of $160,000. And for the last 6 months, you're showing a gain of 30. And, you know, that would be wonderful to get WBAI back in the gainful column. I'm pretty confident that if your event goes off as planned, I was skeptical about that last week and things changed in just this limited amount of time, that will be a profitable month, a gainful month. And if you can have a couple more like that, you know, everything will pan out fine. So I think that's a more reasonable, objective, though aspirational budget. And as I say, you know, I hope for the best, and I hope you're right. So thank you.
Thank you for your positiveness, Chris, and also just to mention that we have a bequest that's outstanding right now, and it's not figured in here at all. So there can be sometimes, you know, like $10,000, sometimes it could be a couple of hundreds of thousands, but it's not included in here. We have a bequest. I just text Arthur Schwartz 2 days ago, and then he's following up to figure out how much it could be. And that could make a big difference also in, if you don't know, most of you are new on this board, when WBA gets a bequest, we take the entire money and we send it to the national office. We cash it and then we just ship it. So let's just pray for us that this bequest is a huge bequest.
Okay. I'm going to ask a couple of maybe shorter questions, and then we'll see if anybody else has any other questions, and then we'll see where we are. Bertel, I wanted to know if you could just briefly, for the benefit of the other treasurers or the other stations, say exactly what is double your donation?
Okay. So, you know, we used to use a different system called Volusion that was to collect money on the internet, and we found out that KPFA, KPFK, and WPFW were using Allegiance, and you know, there was a strong push for all of us to use the same system, and I analyzed it and looked into it, and the data was cleaner. We went into Allegiance because it also gives us the ability to do certain things like reversal book. We can do events and then categorize it and then raise some money and do things with them. But one of the things that it also did is it streamlined the relationship with Corporate Match. Double the Donation is a company that's in sync with Allegiance, where once you upload it, it increases your corporate matching fund. In other words, every time a listener calls in the call center and says, I'm donating $100, they get an email immediately that says, you know, click on this link and click on this drop-down, type the name of your company to see if your company participates in corporate matching fund for not-for-profit organization. So every single pledge, in other words, you know, we're getting $1.1 million in listener support. We're going to get $1.1 million of correspondence to the listener for them to contact their company, and then they will be prompted to go and get corporate matching funds. You know, and we feel that this is going to work. This is working because it's on, like, right on the spot. Anybody who gives us the right email address will get that email. And they get about 3 or 4 email follow-up from Double Your Donation, prompting them to do this. And then we get a report from them that I sent to Julia and James, where they said that we had $2,500 raised in February from Double the Donation. And they gave us the name of the listeners and then the amount of money and then the stage at which each person is. This person made a contact with their company. These people received the money. I mean, they never received the money. The
okay,
money went straight
okay.
to the WBA.
Okay, thank you, Bertel. So, Bertel.
Yeah.
I want to try to keep these answers short because we're approaching our time certain. I just want to ask you, how long has that been? How long have we been using that? And what is the trajectory of the increase in the amount of donations that's bringing in? The additional funds. How much additional money is that bringing in? How long have you been using it?
We launched it at the end of November. We were rushing it to get it so that we can get those people, you know, everybody who donated for the fiscal year, because we don't want to miss the fiscal year. We don't know what deadline companies have. And then we pushed this, and then we did mass mailing, prompting people to donate. And I don't
short
think
answers, short answers, Bertel.
Yeah.
Short answers,
so
if you would.
I think we raised close to, I don't know, I cannot tell you, but in February it was 2,500. We're projecting in the numbers in my double your donation corporate match, we're projecting about $5,000 as of May.
I believe the answer to the question, from my recollection, is that it's been doubling every month or two, the amount that's coming in from that.
Yes, so far. But I figured that it would be, I figured it would be close to 5,000 in May, and it was steady at that point.
Did I hear Julie chiming in there? Julia?
I was just saying the trajectory is on the budget. It says have 32,000 by the end of the fiscal year. So yeah,
right.
He has it increasing up to 5,000 a month.
I just wanted to him. I wanted him to say how much it's been increasing so far, and he got there eventually. And I just have one final thing, and then I'll ask if there's any other questions. I think it would be good if you used the word sustainer when you're in this committee and when you're doing, you know, talking business inside of Pacifica. I know that it's a like a brand name or a tag that you've put on at BAI Buddy for our listeners, but I think it confuses people if you don't call it sustainer when you're in a business meeting. Anyway, that's just a comment. Are there any other questions? Okay, hearing none. I think it's time that we try to put this to a vote. And Arpal, can we craft some language for a motion, which would be the NFC recommends to the PNB that they accept and approve the WBIF fiscal year 22 budget as presented from the NFC? Something along those general lines.
That's fast. NFC, that the NFC recommends to the PNB that they approve the WBAI draft FY22 budget.
Sounds right to me. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Is there any I'm sorry?
Yes.
I thought somebody was going to. Was that somebody asking to discuss?
Yes.
Go ahead. Was that Kim?
Well, yeah.
I didn't recognize you. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead,
Kim. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Well, I think we should mention that there is a deficit, and the PNB needs to be aware of this. And take action. You know, what actions I don't think we need to, you know, detail, but I think we need to note that it's a deficit budget. There is some general policy that we don't pass deficit budgets. So to say we approve it is kind of problematic. We certainly accept it as the best that we can do right now. But it is a deficit budget, and it's a little rosy for my taste. But, you know, I just think we need to alert the PNB to pay attention.
Okay, I appreciate that remark. I don't think many on the PNB are going to need to be reminded that it's a deficit budget, but I appreciate the idea of putting it out there plainly. I guess I want to ask if there's any other comment, or Kim, if you want to turn that into an amendment.
If
you want to take a moment to formulate that, we could see if anybody else has anything else to say.
Yes, please.
Back on the stack.
Who was that, Mac?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mac.
I propose that the motion be amended, or as stated, that it be amended to include the descriptor deficit budget. As we pass it on to the PNB, just stick that in there so you can't miss it.
Okay.
Can you repeat that wording, Mac?
I can try. I can't remember exactly what we said, but as we pass the budget on to or recommend the budget to the PNB, that we recommend the deficit budget. That's all.
That kind of accomplishes the goal. And maybe take out the word approve and just put the word accept?
Yes.
Well, what does that mean?
It means it's a deficit budget, and who's going to recommend it?
What I have so far is the amendment would be to insert deficit before the word budget, so that it would then read that the NFC recommend to the PNB that they approve the WBAI draft FY22 deficit budget. They have to approve it one way or the other.
Yeah.
So,
well, they have to
just accept it. I don't know what it means to replace approve with accept.
Well, we're not approving a deficit budget, but we're accepting it as the best that we got going right now.
I think it's a conflation, perhaps, of the meaning of the word approve in this context. It doesn't mean that we think it's all hunky-dory and wonderful that we have a deficit budget. It just means, yes, this is what we've got, and we will take it for what it is.
If I may interject, it's my understanding that the NFC doesn't approve anything. We pass it on for the PNB's approval. Is that right?
No, we actually do approve it.
Well, then I'll stand down.
Or not.
Forgive me.
Or not.
Or not, yes, correct. I think or not is correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
It does happen, yeah.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Bertolt.
So,
Bertolt, before you say something, Bertolt, I'm going to ask if we can have a motion to extend for 10 minutes to make sure we don't run up against our time certain.
Sure.
Move to extend for 10.
Any objections? That's 10 from the time certain of 10:15.
Yes. Yeah, 10:25.
Okay. Any objections? Thank you. Go ahead, whoever was speaking. Was it Bertolt?
Yes. I mean, it is obvious that the understanding is that we have a new executive director who is very serious about balancing the budget, that each general manager is going to be working with a lot on figuring out how to get grants and also how to have collaboration between all the stations. For example, we could use a few pitchers. I think we have some good stuff going on, but if we could have some people who knows how to pitch to come and collaborate with WPitch, and PFW Katia Stitt has volunteered. So if you guys are not comfortable with all this, the idea of putting that, WBI is going to be working very closely with management, and also there's going to be an effort throughout the network to have collaboration within the stations so that we can improve and increase our fund drive numbers. That would go well, and then that should go with all stations anyways. But, I mean, that's my two cents.
I think that's an understanding that's being worked out sort of behind the scenes, but I don't know if we can put all of that into a resolution recommending that the PNB act to accept this budget.
Okay.
Did you want
to
narrow
it? Stack.
Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I pulled up the bylaws. The Finance Committee shall review, I'm reading verbatim now, shall review and recommend the annual budget for board approval.
Okay. So I think that means the word approval is okay. Is that what you're implying?
Yeah.
No. Oh, you are. Oh, okay.
Ambassador Stack?
Well, I think Kim was in the middle of trying to ask you, Stack.
No, let Beth go.
Okay. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I have alternate wording for consideration. It may be too nice for Kim's taste, but I'll run it up the flagpole and see what people think. Moved that the NFC recommends to the PNB that they approve the proposed WBAI fiscal 22 budget, recognizing that it remains a deficit budget. I'm thinking in terms of any potential funders who might review our documents and how it might read to them.
I think you're also separating the idea of approval from the idea that, you know, we're just saying that this is what we have, as opposed to we like it or we think it's great that this is what we have.
Exactly. Precisely. That's it.
I think
James, I'm sorry, I missed the last bit of that. I got distracted. Could would you mind repeating that?
For Beth, what Beth said?
Julie, Beth, yes, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead, Beth.
Moved that the NFC recommends to the PNB that they approve the proposed WBAI fiscal year 22 budget, recognizing that it remains a deficit budget.
Okay, thank you.
I think that sounds good to me, with the understanding that this is not the last deficit budget we're likely to see in front of this committee.
Oh, no.
Just saying.
I'll just note that the deficit got bigger the longer we talked about it.
Well, I think Beth's suggestion far surpasses my own.
Hello, I'm Miss Jack. This is Susan. This is Susan.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, first, I think that the efforts to frame this, I think, are very thoughtful and good and make sense. I wonder if there is something that might happen coming out of this committee, not in relationship to an individual budget, but to the budgets as a whole, saying that there are individual and collective deficit budgeting that require a new approach to revenues, such as, maybe this committee does not recommend what. But I think we need to bring out the alarm that there needs to be a comprehensive, collective approach to revenues because we're in a deficit situation.
I would agree with that, but I would just question whether you're suggesting that we do that in attached to this motion to the PMB, or that sounds like something we should discuss as a separate matter. And I think it would be a good idea to bring that discussion out into the open in terms of...
And James, let me just say,
yes,
do not recommend it as a part of this motion. I do not recommend it coming forward now.
Yeah.
I recommend that this be a statement from the NFC at such time that it would be useful.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that idea. And in fact, Bertil, what have I been saying to you over and over and over again? What do we have to do?
We have to make more money.
That's right.
We
have to produce the revenue. That's what I say. But yeah, basically that's the idea.
More money. I need more money.
Can I make a comment?
And Stephanie is in trouble because we're going to follow her wherever she goes to see if we can get grant writing help. To figure
That's
out
right.
how that happens.
All right, let's hear from Stephanie. From Julia.
I'm sorry.
I just want to say that this is a critical situation, and my not having much to say is not to take away from the critical situation we're in. Something does have to be done. There needs to be a written plan for the organization about driving listenership. Because you can say all day, raise money. Well, that's essentially eating the elephant. And we're not going to tackle this by eating the elephant. We have got to break this into actionable items that can be a part of everyone's workday in these units across the board. Because even the units who have positive or, you know, net income, you know, positive balances on their budgets, they're not large. There's nobody just banging it out of the park. You know, KPFA can't even, is, you know, theirs isn't even big enough at the point of this to cover everybody, even if they felt like they were needed to cover everybody, which is not their responsibility. But still, it is across the board, a plan needs to be put in place for, and somebody in charge of that plan about the steps that are being taken to build listenership, which steps back to programming, which means giving the programmers the support that they need, the training that they need to be comfortable with infusing that pitch part to their programming, all the way back to, you know, how we're measuring listenership and how we're measuring the donations. I mean, it's not just going to be grants. It has to go back to the listenership because, again, that's going to be critical eventually should we ever hope to get CPP funds. We're so decentralized with the management situation that I'm at a loss for even what to say as to how to drive that.
You know, I understand and agree with everything you're saying, Julia, but I think we should set this as an item for discussion, perhaps at our next meeting, where we can devote a healthy amount of time and people can think about it in the meantime, and perhaps get the executive director weighing in on it. But now, at this particular moment, we have 3 minutes left, and I'd like to try and, you know, get a final formulation and a vote on this particular budget and then delve into this larger question, which I agree is front and center at a future time. And I'll even suggest, you know, at the next meeting.
Mr. Chair.
But, yes.
Okay. We have stuff on the floor, and it's a little messy, and could I make
Correct.
A suggestion here? The
yes.
final thing that was said was, I believe it's from Beth, that says, it would be a motion that the NFC recommend to the PNB that they approve the proposed WBII FY22 budget, comma, recognizing that it remains a deficit budget. That seems to be what people have ended up talking about. The original motion was from you that the NFC recommend to the PNB that they approve the WBAI draft FY22 budget. Would you like to withdraw that?
Yes, since we're in committee, I can withdraw that, and I will,
I do. It's the property of the floor, so if there's unanimous consent, it can be withdrawn. So you should
okay.
ask if anybody objects.
Very good. Does anybody object to withdrawing my original motion? Hearing none, it's done.
Okay,
and
I think that kind of moots the amendment and all. So there is now a main motion in the floor, which reads that the NFC recommend to the PNB that they approve the proposed WBAI FY22 budget, comma, recognizing that it remains a deficit budget.
Yes. And I'm going to ask if there is any objection. And hearing none, we will call it done, and we are at our time certain. Hoping we can come at our next meeting, which will be in 2 weeks, to give Julia time to get busy on the audits I hope we will be able to review the Texas budget, and we'll also have that question, that larger question, on the agenda.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I make one final request to the committee that if anybody has anything else to say about a motion on transactional limit, they be in touch with me now. That would include, this is a last call for any alleged previous such resolutions or policies. I've heard about them now for 2 years and more. No one has been able to show me one yet. So if there is such a thing out there, I need to see it soon, or I'll bring forth, that's not a threat. In the absence of anything, any other such policy, I will be bringing forth such a motion, doing my absolute best to incorporate everybody's best thinking. So please be in touch with me directly. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Beth. Okay. I think now we can have that adjournment we've all been waiting for. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank you.
So, are we adjourned?
No, Bertold's thanking everyone. Go ahead, Bertold, very quickly.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for their time. This was very hard. It's tedious trying to figure out what is the most realistic budget and makes sense and that we could maybe achieve. From, you know, clashing head with the WBI Finance Committee meeting and chair, all Paul Martin pushed me to figure out how to figure this out, the most realistic one and the least deficit one, to you, James, and Julia. So I'd like to thank you guys for your understanding and recognition that this was a lot of work. And then we're going to have to try to do our best to make it happen.
Thank you for that, Bertol. All right, on that note, I think we're adjourned. I don't think we are adjourned. I'm declaring that we are adjourned. Thank you all. And thank you, Fred.
Good night, Joe.
Good night, all.